To order, welcome everybody here. We have two bills before us today. It sounds like we've got a short agenda. I hope nobody minds being done a little early today. I hate to disappoint you all with that free time on your calendars. Let's begin with a public hearing on Senate Bill 147, top of the agenda. And I guess, Paul, are you staffing that for us?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 147, it establishes a specific date for tax preparer license renewals. This date is set by administrative rule now in practice, but a review of statutes revealed that there is a statute that sets the anniversary date of the tax preparer's license as the time when renewal is due. So the current practice has been in conflict with statute for over 20 years, and that was not discovered until the last year or so. And we do have interim director for the Oregon Board of Tax Practitioners here to describe the consequences of following the statute as it technically reads now and this proposed bill.
All right. And that would be Carlos. Yeah, right. I'm just calling both of you at the same time. Why don't you both come on up together? Ronald Burson and, I'm sorry, Carla Ciclay. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're on.
All right, thank you. Mr. Chair, Representative Shetterly, members of the committee, good morning. My name is Ronald Burson. I'm the interim director for the Board of Tax Practitioners. The Board is a consumer protection agency that regulates the licensed tax consultants and licensed tax preparers in Oregon. The Board also protects consumers from unlicensed personal income tax preparers. I'm appearing today in support of Senate Bill 147. I provided you with a complete written testimony and would like to present the key points of this testimony. This past year, our Assistant Attorney General informed the Board that their current practice of renewing licenses on specific dates is in conflict with ORS 673.645. ORS 673.645 states any licensed tax consultant and tax preparer on or before the anniversary of the issuance of the license of a tax consultant or tax preparer. Since 1979, the Board has renewed licensed tax consultants on May 31st and licensed tax preparers on May 30th. OAR 800-020-0030 is used for the practice of renewing tax consultant and tax preparer licenses. When the rule was proposed, the conflict with ORS 673.645 was not discovered. Therefore, the practice of renewing the licenses on the above annual dates has become practice for the past 23 years. The benefit of Senate Bill 147 is the Board will be able to continue its practice of renewing licenses at a uniform annual dates known by the licensees. The Board would not have to spend valuable resources to research each licensee, approximately 5,400, anniversary date, inform them of that date, and continually throughout the year renew licenses. The resources can be used instead for fulfilling the Board's mission of protecting the consumer. Senate Bill 147 has no fiscal impact. If passed, the fiscal impact would be in not passing the bill. The Board then would be forced to spend its resources on revamping its license renewal process, including reprogramming the Board's data for new anniversary date at a rate of $75 per hour. Also, many of the anniversary dates would fall during the Board's examination time frame, damaging the Board's ability to test and license new licensees. This would put a strain on the industry because of a shortfall of new preparers. The failure would also put a strain on the continuing education scheduling for licensees. Currently, continuing education, which our licensees are required to have 30 hours per year, is scheduled around the renewal dates and tax season. The Board has received no opposition to the bill and is supported by the licensees and their associations, the Oregon Association of Tax Consultants, the Oregon Association of Independent Accountants, the Oregon Society of Tax Consultants, and the Oregon Society of Enrolled Agents. Passage of this bill will allow the Board to continue to renew its licenses in a manner for which it has done for over 20 years and continue to manage its resources towards its mission of protecting the consumer. I again urge you to pass this bill It was passed unanimously in Senate Revenue Committee and passed the Senate by a vote of 28-1. Are there any questions?
Any questions? How many licensees are we talking about?
Currently there's approximately 5,400 licensees.
Questions?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Barnhart.
Thank you. Your OARs are filed with the Secretary of State?
Yes, sir.
You have an Assistant Attorney General who assists you in the preparation of OARs at various times?
Chair Sedley, Representative Barnhart, yes, we do.
Okay, thank you.
And every few years, they check them against the statute.
You knew where I was going.
That's right. All right, Ms. Siclay. Oh, you don't have any testimony yourself?
Ms. Siclay is our licensing specialist for the board, and she was here for any kind of technical assistance I might need.
Anybody need technical assistance? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, I guess this is one of those bills, if you can't bring Muhammad to the mountain, you bring the mountain to Muhammad. We'll just make the statute conform to practice.
Well, this is the sort of statute, Mr. Chair, that ought to be written this way, that it's set by rule rather than in the law anyway.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't see Charles, Deborah. Nobody else wants to testify. So we'll close public hearing on Senate Bill 147 and open a work session on Senate Bill 147. What's your pleasure, committee?
Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Scott.
I move that we send Senate Bill 147 to the floor with a due pass.
Representative Scott moves Senate Bill 147 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Please call the roll.
Representative Barnhart?
Aye.
Berger?
Aye.
Farr?
Aye.
Pass?
Aye.
Hoffman?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Berger? Williams?
Aye.
And Chair General.
Aye. Senate Bill 147 goes to the floor of the two passes. Is this our first Senate bill out of this committee?
I think so.
Okay, good. Representative Scott, you can have it.
Sure.
Well, Representative Barnhart looked like he was willing.
No. I was going to make a suggestion.
Of course.
Mr. Chair.
What?
The suggestion is that this would be an excellent bill for the consent calendar, in part because this is a good one not to discuss.
Oh, I was going to say, I think it's almost worthwhile just mentioning how these things happen sometimes. just as an education. All right. Let's go to a public hearing on House Bill 2489. This bill is, brought to us by, Representative Shetterly.
I'm a no.
Mazin, why don't you tell us what it does, and then we'll hear from Charles Stern.
Okay. Good morning, Mr. Chair. Mazin, Manic, Legislative Revenue, James Lynch. House Bill 2489, it tries to put a technical process and a legal process into the law of adding the person who's holding a power of attorney to the list of people who could sign or petition, appeal, or receive notice from the Board of Property Tax Appeals. At this time, the statutes have listed, as I have in the SMS summary, about six different parties that could practice that, and this is to add the power of attorney holder to this list. And in that sense, it really has no fiscal or revenue impact.
All right, but it does have some proposed amendments that apparently are conceptual and not ready for us. Charles Stern, why don't you come up and tell us about the bill and about the amendments. I see. Have you distributed your written testimony? It looks like you have to all the committee members. Okay.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Charles Stern. I'm the Yamhill County Clerk, and I chair the Oregon Association of County Clerks Legislative Committee. I want to thank you for hearing this bill. The bill does basically two things, as you could read from the testimony that I've distributed. The first thing it does in lines 18 or 19 through 20 of page 1 is it reconciles where we send the notice with who can file an appeal. And that's all that does there. It says it makes that list the same. And then on the on page 2 of the bill, we've added to that list a person holding a power of attorney. Now, this term attorney of fact is, I think, kind of a new one to many of us this session, but I think there's another bill, I think, in judiciary that also deals with powers of attorney. Attorney of fact is becoming kind of a term of art to many of our members. We had no idea what it was until we began researching what an attorney in fact was, as opposed to attorney at law. We frequently get requests from some seniors, elderly people who have don't have a relative, but they have a very trusted friend to whom they've given power of attorney to assist them in their business, and then they come to the clerks and want to do their appeals, and we say, sorry, you have to hire a lawyer or go to a licensed realtor or someone who has a license to practice law. It's been the policy of, as you'll notice from the list, that those people who can appear before the Board of Property Tax Appeals are someone who is licensed in this state. Have you noticed that it's someone who practices law or public accountancy in this state, legal guardian or conservator, real estate broker, or principal licensed in this state? And so we've pretty well focused on you got to be licensed in the state, with a few exceptions of a relative, which is defined by administrative rule. And so we're looking at adding this additional exception, but we would like to have it, and the amendments would make it a general power of attorney. And say, why a general power of attorney? Is that it? In discussions with the Department of Revenue, there was a concern that some of the out-of-state businesses would prefer giving someone a limited power of attorney for tax purposes rather than going through any of our regular licensed either realtor or attorney or accountant. And we didn't want to open that up to that, but meet the needs of those people who have come to us from the disabled and the seniors and ask for that service. And so that was why our amendments look at limiting it to a general power of attorney. And then as just the amendment that is proposed also on page 2, rather than having a copy at the request of the board, we've amended to just send a copy if you're going to sign by power of attorney. That's a procedural thing. It's at the request of the board. Here we've got the petition. Now we have to write back and say, now send us a copy of your power of attorney. And we just felt it would smooth it out and make it a little more efficient. That's kind of the focus of this, these simple changes to the law, and be glad to answer any questions.
Questions? So the reason for limiting it to general, this is going to get into discussion of powers of attorney.
Yes, it does.
You've got a general power of attorney, which is broad. It gives someone the ability to manage finances,
sell your property,
you bet, motor vehicles, all those kinds of things. And you do have a special or limited power of attorney where I give you the ability to manage a piece of property at a specific address, and that's the only thing you have the power to do. You can't do my banking, you can't sell my cars, but you've got the right to control a piece of property that I designate. And your concern is that if we allow special powers of attorney, that you're going to be seeing people who are not real estate brokers or lawyers coming in, having themselves designated with specific power to represent somebody on a piece of property and kind of circumvent these other licensing requirements that are set forth in the list?
Chair Shetterly, that's correct. If you look in the statute on the power of attorney form, letters of attorney, I think it's called in the statute, there's a place where there's a series of options that as you initial them, you remove authority on those options. And one of those options is to represent you in tax matters. And so if you removed all the other options, all you could do is represent in tax matters. And we have had requests from out-of-state owners of property to accept those, and we've rejected, said, no, we can't accept that. You need to acquire a licensed practitioner in Oregon to represent you. And that's who we've had those requests. It was not our intention to open it up for them to use that avenue.
So what you're getting at by the general power attorney is somebody who really has been legitimately appointed to represent somebody on a much more general basis, more likely a family member. Yeah. Or somebody who's just administering
much
the
broad.
Whole ball of wax for somebody who may be incapacitated or not able to do that themselves.
Something that you as a property owner would be not likely to do to someone in another state
right.
who you don't have that relationship developed.
Okay. Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Your line of question led me to another one, and that is that if under this rule, a corporation then would always have to appear through some licensed person. Would they not?
Mr. Chair, Representative Barnhart, that's correct.
Okay.
Unless the president of the corporation, there's some people who can sign the petition at the corporate level. Those people who are designated at the corporate level to engage in their tax activities, they sign the petition. They could also represent that corporation. But generally it is done through someone who is licensed. Again, it kind of depends on the size of the corporation and how expansive it is.
But that's beyond the scope of what you're trying to
amend. That's correct.
Bill.
Okay. All right. That's correct response.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. See, I don't know if I want to open that can of worms.
No.
Yeah. Other questions for Charles? We have an hour and 35 minutes to talk about this bill. So. You know, the only thing I would suggest is maybe for Charles or Mazin, in getting these amendments LC in LC form, it might be worth having Dexter, who I assume is doing this bill, just run this by Dave Hendricks as well. I know Dave does the judiciary stuff and would be... You know, absolutely familiar with powers of attorney, so we make sure that whatever we do in this bill absolutely corresponds to the power of attorney statute. It just seems might be worthwhile, especially since I know we changed that in the last session. I think David was the drafter in that.
Mr. Chair, I think you also have a bill in judiciary doing some more things in the power of attorney areas.
Well, that way for sure then we can make sure they're coordinated so we're not building an amendment into this that doesn't jive with the general power of attorney statute.
Yeah. And I checked with your staff yesterday evening and the amendments had not yet come back from LC, so they're over there.
Then we've got time.
Okay.
All right. Any other questions for Charles? Anybody else wish to testify on this? Well, in that case, then, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2489. We will wait to get that back with amendments before we go to work session. We'll have a brief chairs committee after this with Paul Warner in his office. And other than that, committee, I think we are adjourned for the day. Enjoy your time.